We're doing Mishlei, we're up to the 21st chapter. The first pasuk says, Palgei Mayim, the 21st chapter, Perek Chaf Aleph. Palgei Mayim, like the furrows, the irrigation ditches of water, so too is Lev Melech Biyad Hashem, is the heart of a king in the hands of God. Al kol ha-shayach potz yatenu, and God tilts it in any direction He chooses, just as when one has an irrigation ditch, part of what we do is we guide the water. Sometimes we have the water go to this field, sometimes to that field, we control it. So too God controls the heart of the king. The simple reading of this verse is that a king does not have b'chira chofshi. That because the king, his actions affect many, many people, God says, don't think that he runs the show. I'm controlling him. I'll tilt his heart this way and that way. The question we have to ask ourselves is, if it's that simple, so then why does the Torah make a point of Vayachbed Hashem et Lefo, Vayakshe Hashem et Lefo, that God intervenes in Paro's heart? I'd like to leave this question standing, but I'd like to point out another question that this pasuk answers. If we take this pasuk in its simple form, so then this answers a question that we raised a while ago. When we read the Tanakh, we find that the people are often punished for things that they do. God says, why did you go to war with the Jewish people? Why did you afflict the Jewish people? And we asked months ago, why are the people held accountable? The king decided that this is the policy. So we said, maybe the expectation is that the people rebel against the king. That's completely counter Machiavellian. You're saying that people should rebel. I'm not sure that the Torah really wants that. But if we take this pasuk and say that God guides the heart of the king, so then what we're saying is that the people themselves choose which way they want to go, and God guides the heart of the king in a way that's fitting the people. So you got to take a few steps back, meaning they're being punished because they did something. They did something because the king said so. But why did the king say so? Because God made the king say so. So then you say, well, why are they punished? They listened to the king who was guided by God. At the end of the day, you're going to blame God. What do we want from the head of Iran? God is tilting his heart. So that's where we have to go further. And we have to ask, what does it mean that the king's heart is tilted? El kol ha-shayach potz yatenu. It doesn't say God controls it directly. It says God tilts it. So God says the Jewish people have to be punished. I'll tilt his heart so that he applies this pressure on the Jewish people. Now, does he have b'chira chofshit or doesn't he have b'chira chofshit? If we say he has b'chira chofshit, so God, what does it mean? God just tilts it, makes it more inclined that way. Or we say he does not have b'chira chofshit, so then we have to say that God tilts it in a way that's fitting for his people. So even though it seems like he's guiding the people, he's reflecting what his people deserve. So you're ending up in a situation where you're moving backwards more and more to try and derive spiritually what is the source of the actions. Meaning, if we're going to go this route, so we'll say the people of Iran were sinful, so God gave them a leader who matches the people, and he's guiding them in a way that fits them to be sinful, and God tilts his heart to match the people. It's very difficult. So the truth is, we have to look beyond the Mefarshim over here, and it's discussed a little bit. I haven't yet found someone that covers it to the depth that I'd like, philosophically, how we are to understand this quandary, but maybe this is going to have a hand in answering the questions we've raised. Yeah? Yeah, I'm with you. You could do a misdirection.
No.
I don't care.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
On the one hand, there's not absolute, freedom to care for sheep, and also not absolute dominion by the individual. Absolute dominion by God, meaning that to a certain extent, there's always both aspects.
So So the Malbim stresses the fact that he's a public figure, that he controls the public. And the Malbim goes the route, that's where I got it from, that depending on how the people behave, God will guide their king. Meaning, even though it always looks like the king is guiding the people, God makes it that the king, his heart is tilted in the way that his people deserve his heart to be tilted. If the people are righteous people, God will make their leader be a righteous leader. If the people are sinful, so God tilts his heart in the other way. That's the way the Malbim goes. The
tilted doesn't mean necessarily a complete lack of personal.
So the Malbim uses the words "hu mishulal habchira." He lacks free choice. The Malbim says, "Beinyanei haklal," when it comes to the masses, "hu mishulal habchira." He doesn't have free choice. So then the question is, what was exceptional about Paro? If this is a rule about every king, why does the Torah stress the point of Paro? So this needs work. The Rabbag goes a little bit differently. The Rabbag says that because the king has such an influence, so Hashem tilts his heart whichever way Hashem chooses and limits the capacity of the king's actions and thoughts. Meaning he uses terms that are gentler than the Malbim. He doesn't say he has no Bchira Chofshit, but it's a limited Bchira Chofshit. But he says, in essence, this pasuk teaches us to view the king as a messenger of God. Just like we view natural disasters as messengers of God, we say it didn't just happen that lightning struck his home. There's a reason why God did it. By the same token, when the king does something, so we're supposed to view it as a messenger of God. Okay, this needs work. I'm just raising the issues and the different directions that the Rishonim and the Achronim seem to take. Kol derech ish yashar be'inav, whatever path a person chooses, in his eyes, that's straight. V'tochen libot Hashem. And Hashem is the one that really evaluates, that really knows what's going deep inside a person's heart. Is his path honest or not? And it's exceptional how true this is. A boss once told me that he didn't used to work with punching clocks. The workers all got their wages and they knew what time they had to be there. And this is a more respectable way to treat the workers. But he said workers would come late and he'd try to talk to them. And they'd say, no, I was here. The worker always views the time that he's there. He doesn't view the time that he leaves early. He doesn't remember the times that he came late. He doesn't realize that 4 out of 5 days he shows up late. That's not the way a person views his life. A person always justifies himself to himself. Kol derech ish yashar beinav. Whatever path a person chooses, in his own eyes, he's right. He's righteous. So that's why it's so difficult, if we want a person to change, to help them change. One of the claims that people have within marriage is, it's not personal. I'm telling her facts. This is the way she is. She goes off the handle. We walked into a store. They didn't have the shoes she wanted. She started yelling at the salesperson. It has nothing to do with me. That's the type of person. That's the way she behaved. When I mentioned to her, look, this isn't really a nice behavior. People don't appreciate it. She gets offended. What's she getting offended for? I didn't say something personal to her. So we have to remember this pasuk. However a person behaves, in his own eyes, that's straight. People always view themselves as straight. Even people who recognize they have what to fix, don't recognize it to its fullest extent. That's why one of the things we need in order to acquire Torah is Yodet Mekomo. A person should really recognize his place. It's a Kinyan Torah. It's one of the levels that one has to attain to acquire Torah. It takes a lot of work to know thyself. And when we talk to people, we have to recognize that. They do not view themselves at fault. People will always justify what they're doing wrong. So this is a tip for ourselves, and this is a tip for others. That's why David HaMelech said, "Bikrav alai resha'im tishmana oznai." When the wicked come towards me, I listen. Why? Because when someone who likes you talks to you, so they might view you positively. Someone who hates you, they're going to know how to hit you exactly where it hurts. You're like this, and you're like that. And if we're smart, we recognize here's an opportunity, here's someone who's going to tell it to me like it is. Maybe they'll exaggerate, but maybe not. And here I could listen. Here I could really hear what I have to fix about myself. So it takes a great person to listen that way. David HaMelech says, I take advantage of the situation. Why? Because if I try myself to recognize my faults, I'm going to have it difficult. Kol derech ish yashal be'inav. Whatever path a person chooses in his own eyes is straight. Only Hashem really can evaluate our hearts deep down. Pasuk Gimen. Aso tzedaka umishpat. Doing righteousness and justice, nivchal Lashem mizavach, is more chosen by God than sacrifices. Very often we try to find an easy solution. A person sees that he's losing his parnasa. A person sees that there are issues of health. What does he do? He goes to the rabbi and says, tell me, what segula can I do? What can I do? Tell me, should I check my mezuzahs? Should I maybe give this donation? Something external. But a person doesn't stop and say, wait a second, maybe I'm doing 10,000 things wrong. What do I have to change? Shlomo HaMelech says, remember, if you're righteous, if you're just, if you're doing what you're supposed to do in this world, between you and God and between you and your fellow man, that is more valued in the eyes of God than bringing the sacrifices. That's external, the sacrifice. God wants us to build ourselves internally. Rum Einayim. I didn't hear you.
Should be.
Shlomo brought 1,000 olah sacrifices a day. What do you think? 1,000 sacrifices. He connected, he bonded with each one. We're supposed to connect with sacrifices, but it's like prayer. I'm talking. Don't I mean what I say? No. We thank our knees for knowing to bow when we reach the right point in prayer. It's not right. It's not the way it should be. We should connect. But the pasuk is telling us, God says, before you try to appease me with a sacrifice, fix yourself. I prefer that. We have this pasuk really was said to Shaul, when Shaul sinned. God says, I prefer you listen to me than you bring me sacrifices. The sacrifices are not what I need. Pasuk Dalet, elevated eyes, a haughty personality, uchav lev, and a wide, wide heart, one who's always seeking to satiate his materialistic desires, nir resha'im chatat. This is the path, the furrow of the wicked, and it is leading to sin. So the pasuk told us two things: rumenayim, elevated eyes, being haughty. So if that leads us to sin, so what leads us to mitzvot? Being modest. Ochav lev, a wide heart. So we have to know that there's rechavat da'at, rechavat lev, rechavat nefesh. It says, dira na'a, isha na'a, kelim na'in, marchivim da'ato shel adam. If a person has a pleasant home, he has a nice house that he lives in, he has a pleasant looking wife, and he has pleasant vessels, he doesn't sit down to eat supper on a scratched up plate, but he sits down and he eats on a nice table, on a nice plate. Malchivin da'ato shel adam. That gives a person a certain breadth of thought, breadth of intellect. There are things that give us breadth. When a person lives in a dira that's not na'a, he comes home and he looks at his wife and he feels that she is very poor looking. He sits down to eat and everything he's using are vessels that are not nice. So then it causes a person a certain constriction of thought. That's the arechava, breadth of thought is positive. Nefesh rechava or rechav lev, breadth of heart, breadth of the nefesh, of the physical aspirations, that is considered negative. That's one of the descriptions of Bilam HaRasha in our parsha. He's always seeking the material things. That's the understanding that Rashi gives us. It's interesting that the Ibn Ezra gives a different understanding in the verse completely. He says, "Huminayin," if a person is haughty, he raises his eyes, "Uchav lev," but he has breadth of heart, that he is a God-fearing person and he has the breadth to accept the sufferings of life and not question God, nonetheless, he'll be led to sin because he's haughty. It's not enough to have the chav lev. That seems to be the Ibn Ezra's understanding, and then he explains the chav lev as a positive thing. Pasuk 8, machshivot charutz, the thoughts of someone who is honest, a person who is swift, he does things correctly, achle mutal, he's always thinking how to succeed, and because he thinks things through and he does things without being lazy, he's swift to do things, so his thoughts will produce, he will always find himself producing. V'chol atz, but whoever is stubborn, he's insistent, I want it now, I'll do it now, achle maso, ultimately he loses. Chazal always told us we have to gauge the time. We have to gauge timing. Sometimes a person lets his desire get the better of him. I once knew a girl who, every time she'd date, she'd drive the guys crazy. They'd go on a date, and after the date she'd call him up and ask him, "Hi, how are you? And how is the date? And are we continuing?" She needed to feel like, yes, he wants to continue. And the guys really liked her. She had a lot of positive traits. But she can never wait and see where things would lead. And one guy after another, she must have dated hundreds of guys. I mean, she only got married at around age 30 something. So, and she was dating many, many guys along the way. And people...
Nice,
what?
Nice age.
Yeah, but if she's dating from the age of 18, so in 12 years, she dated many, many guys. But she was atz. That's this pasuk. She pushed. She didn't wait to see things in their set time. And that's what the pasuk ends. Achle machso. It causes a person to lose. A person has to gauge the timing and do things in their set time. This is true also in dating, that sometimes people feel ready to get engaged and they don't have the patience to wait for the other side to get there. So they push. And you can't push a person to reach a point where they're not there. And by pushing, you usually end up losing. So, even though we only did 5 psukim, we'll pause here. We'll pick beer next time.